Professional wrestling, a topic that we always talk about on the Chris Kloss Show. Professional wrestling, often an escape from the real world, an escape from pop culture. However, nowadays, speaking of old school wrestling, today, times have changed. Seems that nowadays, controversy awaits anything that comes down the pike, whether it be political correctness, race, women's issues, anything you can think of. Even professional wrestling is under the spotlight of some of the most controversial topics in today's society. Gimmicks of old, gimmicks of new. What's changed? Has it been wrestling or the world around it? Stay tuned, fans. This is the Chris Kloss Show. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chris Kloss Show, episode week number 8. We are here. That is right, in our plush palatial studios in beautiful. Now, right now, today, I'm looking outside, and
we got shot. Somebody almost get shot.
Yeah, that's right. No. This is Pacoima. This is not like Beverly Hills or something where, you know, all that crime goes on. Look at
dogs without leeches, that's a crime.
Oh, is it ever, Danny? We have right now, kind of the curtains are drawn. If this is the first time you're listening to the show, again, this is the Chris Kloss Show. I am your host, Chris Kloss. Yes, that Chris Kloss, former host of XPW-TV, MTV's Wrestling Society X, countless independent shows from all over the country. Actually, I've done shows here and there, mainly California, but done shows in Philadelphia, New York, down south, Bay Area. So you name it, I've done it. Did a little acting out in New York, too. So, yes, I'm that guy. And joining me as well, as always, my co-host, the one and only. Yes, that's right. It's still in Maxim magazine. They have not voted another one yet. Next week, they're going to be voting again, so your reign might be up unless you start working out some more. But Maxim Magazine, again, if you're this is the first time you joined us here on the Chris Kloss Show, my co-host, a lot of you guys out here know him, that are wrestling fans out here being Southern California. Maxim Magazine recently voted him sexiest professional wrestling referee west of the Mississippi River. The one and only, Monchi Chi, Danny Ramirez. Welcome, Danny.
Thank you, Chris Kloss. It's an honor to be here as the sexiest referee from what, Midwest?
The West Coast, you know, west of the Mississippi.
Westward.
I don't know who's sexier on the East Coast. We'll have to find that out. And always behind the scenes, in the woodworks.
In the closet.
Oh! Well, that's another topic for another show. The one and only, our trusty producer, the guy that really makes this all happen, George Hermosa. In the background, Manhattan, Zuma, Malibu, Santa Monica. No, Hermosa Beach, George Hermosa. So thank you, George. And Danny, we're going to get right into it. But before we do, I just want to mention to our fans out there, if you want to join us, our studios are right here. Now, today, the curtains are kind of drawn a little bit because we are like midday in the hot, basking San Fernando Valley sun in the middle of summer. Yikes, is it hot out here?
Yes. I mean, I feel like we're inside a microwave. You know?
Or a sauna, yeah. But, we are literally on the corner of San Fernando Boulevard. And what is the cross street? Paula?
Van Nuys Boulevard and Paula.
Oh, I'm sorry. Van Nuys Boulevard and Paula Street or Paula Avenue?
Paula Street.
Okay, so yeah, we're right on the corner here. We have the window. We're in a studio here, so people right there on the corner of Van Nuys can come and see us. So we'll be broadcasting here, and this is where actually in the studios is located at your health club called Good Nutrition. And we have an ad during our show talking a little bit about your products and your personal training that you've done because you've worked in professional wrestling, so you've also trained not just a referee. And we're happy to have you here. Now, let's get right into our topic. But yeah, we want to apologize to the people outside. because unfortunately the curtains are drawn. We're kind of trying to keep the sun out. Usually we are not here during these peak hours of the day. And again, it's late July. It's the San Fernando Valley. But again, I always encourage people, hop in the car. Get on a plane. Do something, right? Don't just sit home this summer. We're broadcasting this on the internet, so it's all over the world. Wherever you're listening to us, beautiful, beautiful vacation destination. Beautiful Pacoima, California. I can't tell you enough great things about this place. There's a motor lodge, a Super 8 motel down the street you could stay at. I think they have a pool. And I think they have two stories, and I believe they do have cable TV. And just a wonderful, wonderful place to bring the family. So anyway, we're going to get right into it. You heard the intro of the show, and we're going to talk a little bit about political correctness, race, cultural diversity. Call it what you want. We are talking about it right here today. And it's a little bit of a controversial subject. Not too long ago, I personally was down in Hollywood, California, at a club called Bordner's on Cherokee and Hollywood Boulevard right there. And talking to a buddy of mine, having a few drinks. And this is a Monday night I was down there. After the bar closed, I went ahead and experienced, George, I know you're looking at me, kind of rolling your eyes going, what are you getting at, dude? Well, you know what I'm getting at? I actually experienced trying to be safe and sound, dude. I live out in Woodland Hills, and the only way to get there really via the metro and the subway is out here in California. We have the Orange Line, which is an above-ground kind of bus fleet, and it's, you know, its own track, like a railway. And then you transfer to the Red Line, which goes from North Hollywood all the way to downtown L.A. Well, I take that to Hollywood. Unfortunately, in L.A., they shut down at, what, 1:30, 2 o'clock. So what's the point? The bars get out. Anyway, they got to change that. So what you have to do then, is you have to wait until 4:30 a.m. till they reopen those lines back up. So after the bar, they close at 2 a.m. out here. Another problem we have. Actually, the mayor is going to be voting on that pretty soon. They might be opening bars in Southern California till 4 a.m.
What?
Yep, just like New York. Wow. I don't know if that went through already, but it might have gone through already. I don't know. Our producer is looking it up right now. But anyway, right now it is 2 a.m., and it has been traditionally. And so we went to the little hookah lounge afterward, right? And waiting for the train to open back up so I can go home. I didn't have to work the next day, so I was able to go out, you know, relax, have fun, and not worry about taking the train at 4 a.m. So anyway, we were sitting there at the hookah lounge. I was talking to a couple buddies, and wrestling got brought to the topic. And these friends that I hang out with, these particular friends, don't really talk wrestling much, but it got brought up, and one of their friends that I just met that night, he was pretty intrigued, asking me all these questions. And then security came around, and the topic, I don't know how this topic got brought up with the security, but it was about political correctness somehow. And
was the security guard black?
No, Samoan. Samoan. Hey. So like Umaga style, you know. So anyway, it had nothing to do with that, though. It was the topic of, shall we say, little people, what they used to call midget wrestling.
Wait a minute. I'm a little person.
Yeah, no offense when we I'm bring not that a stuff midget. Up. Okay, no offense. But we were talking about the topic of midget wrestling, okay? Remember now, since the days we watched, actually, you can go all the way back to the Gorgeous George days of the 50s and all the way till the, pretty much, I'd say the, well, now they do have that little El Torito guy, but that's a little different because that is just one guy and it is kind of a luchador thing. So I don't really count that, but I guess we could. But they used to really have a big talent roster of midgets, and they would have midget wrestling, and every few years it wouldn't be a mainstay, but every few years when the interest of wrestling would die out, they would bring, as Freddie Blassie said, hey, when people got bored, you bring in the women, you bring in the midgets, you know? And that's what he would say. And but they did, they had a big midget roster, you know, and it was a big thing. And I remember going to indie shows back in the day in the 90s, and they would have midget wrestling, you know. Think about it. It's gone. It's kaput. Goodbye. It's nowhere to be found. And the ironic thing, I just want to finish this point, Danny, really quick. And the ironic point, I'm just trying to get to this, the main point here. Okay, so yes, the midget wrestling was abundant. However, midget wrestling was a serious part of wrestling, but at the same time, they were there just because of their midgetness. They were there just because of to be laughed at. You know, kind of like they were fun, like a little bit of a circus act. You know what I'm saying? Within a circus act of professional wrestling, you could say. But
well, I'm sorry. I feel like you're almost talking about, I mean, forgive me for saying this, but it's like you're talking about the WNBA. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Are we supposed to take them seriously?
Well, 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 okay, let's, that's, yeah, come on, man. Come on, wait, wait, that's different. So, so let's not muddy it up here. But anyway, okay, so the midget wrestling's gone now, you know, and that was a big thing to do with political correctness. Let's get away from it. It's good not to do this. Now we don't laugh at them, and you know, now it's better for them, and you know, everything's fine. Okay, then you look back at it, and I remember seeing some midget wrestlers interviewed, and this was a few years after it was kind of done away with, and these guys were talking about, hey, I've been training all my life. I want to be a professional wrestler. I want to. I don't care that I'm small. I don't care that I'm in this match. It's a goofy thing. How many goofy things do they do in real, regular-sized people wrestling? You know. So he was talking about how, what can I do now? I can't do anything. I am been training all my life to do this, and now because it's not accepted, I can't do anything. And then I thought to myself, that's right. Not only is it gone, but who in the hell decided it was gone? Not the midgets. The big people. The big people, us, basically said, you know what? That is so wrong, and we're the ones getting off on it. We're the guilty ones, in the sense. Yet we're the ones being the good guys, the martyrs, if you will, saying, uh-uh, we can't do that. And it's just so ironic that the ones who laugh at it, who depict these people as just these little jokes, really, are the ones saying, you know what, we've seen the light, we're not going to do it anymore, instead of maybe making it okay and not so goofing on them. You know, now they just don't want to give these people work. So, you know, really, at the end of the day, it's the little people. I say midgets because that's what they was always called, midget wrestling. But yes, little people. Little people are the ones at the end of the day who are suffering, and it wasn't even their decision to get rid of this. It was us, if you will. It was the normal-sized Earth people that got rid of their way of life, their livelihood, because I think it was one of those guilty things, you know, like when a white person, like, and I'll say, when a white person like walks through a black neighborhood, it's that kind of like that guilty. You're thinking about it too much, so you want to be cool with somebody that's maybe dark-skinned or something. And I think it's a lot of that big people guilt. But who's suffering at the end of the day? Why aren't the midgets asked what they want, you know? So these are the kind of things we're going to be talking about, and that's what I wanted to kick the show off with today. And that is a thing that is gone, Danny. And we were talking about that a little bit. What do you think of that, though, how their livelihood is gone, and it really wasn't their decision for it to be gone.
It's for example, like I said earlier, WNBA, NBA, and people are like, you know, that's not serious. But some of these mid, tiny, little, whatever they want to be, whatever they're supposed to be called, they did train hard. They did the training. They did everything they had to do to be a wrestler. But yet, they weren't taken serious. You know, they weren't because of their size. But then again, you have to think about their safety. I mean, think about putting Hogsworth against Andre the Giant. Big Show. Yeah, Hornswoggle. What's his name?
Hornswoggle.
Yeah, Hornswoggle. I haven't been watching. Whatever. Think about him going up against the Show.
Big Show.
Big Show. Will you buy it if he went over the Show?
No. Well, that's the same
that's
thing.
What, you know? So,
well, that's like women's wrestling. Like, women don't go against the men.
But there is mixed, you know.
Yeah, mixed, but then you have to...
Nicole Bass, didn't she beat someone?
Okay, the only exceptions were a woman like Nicole Bass in China. Mm-hmm. Those were the only two. But those were your rare freaks of nature. I'm talking about the... they were. They're freaks of nature, man.
Sorry, they're still women, though.
It doesn't matter, dude. There's freaks.
Woman and
dude,
strength.
There's freaks of nature that are men too. Like, I don't know. Who are some of the big, big dudes that you can think of that is unheardably big? Remember when, like, Scott Steiner at the end when he got, like, he was a freak of nature, man.
Tiny people, midgets, whatever. Did any of them ever win some kind of title? A tag team?
Were there midget tinyness?
I don't know. A war? Is there a belt?
A midget title?
Yes. Does it exist? A midget title? A WWE midget title? WWE small person's title?
No. Not that I know.
You know?
Not that I know.
Maybe there's a woman's, there's a man's, there's intercontinental, but there's no... I mean, I used to love watching them wrestle because it was like... And you know what the sad part? As soon as you see them wrestle, I mean, me, okay? And I'm short. But as soon as I saw the midgets wrestle, the first thing that popped in my mind was...
I have to tell the story. When I graduated high school, my family and I, we had relatives in Minnesota. Every other year, we drive to Minnesota, right?
Right.
So on the way to Minnesota, our first stop was Vegas.
Right.
And this was back in the early, mid-90s, right? And we stopped at Aladdin Hotel, which is now Planet Hollywood on the Strip. And we stopped there, and there's a poster, boxing and wrestling tonight. I'm like, oh, we gotta go! My grandparents, my parents, my sister, myself, like, we gotta go. Of course, you know, my family, okay, Chris, of course, wants to go to the wrestling, you know. It was Virgil and Papa Shango, the main event. So it was cool. Gary Key, was on that show, you know? And so a lot of local Vegas and some LA guys, too.
Right.
And so anyway, we went to that show. Anyway, there was a midget match on the card, right?
Right.
And my mom, okay, she's very left wing, okay, let's say.
Right.
And I remember when we were going into this, and my mom was kind of like giving... my sister and I had this big speech like, hey, this isn't a good thing. These midgets, it's not good. I don't, you know, when you go in here, just know that they're being really made fun of and you guys really shouldn't enjoy this and that. And I'm just thinking, oh, just let us enjoy the show, Mom. Like, come on, you know. And she would, you know, that's just the way she was.
Right.
And she is still. And she would tell us these things, right? And now I want to make sure you guys understand that this is, you know, like, oh, man, like, I don't want to hear this, right? So, okay, we go to the show, right? And keep in mind, my grandparents, her folks, are there with us. So the show starts, and she's still reminding us, right? Like, just, okay, we get it.
And the poster, you remember something?
Yeah, all that, right? So, okay, giving us all this pre-guilt trip, right? So the match starts. It's Little Tokyo and Little Brooke, and these guys both were in WrestleMania 3.
Oh, wow.
In that six-man tag, right? So anyway, Little Tokyo and Little Brooke were the heels. And the match all the time, when they would go in the ring, they would like go across the ropes and they'd bump into each other. And they'd get pissed off and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? No, what are you doing? It's my turn. And they were just playing up these silly little heels that could not coexist in
right.
long. And so they were like, the whole match, they were getting beat because they were fighting with each other. It was just hilarious.
Yeah.
So anyway, at one point, Little Tokyo accidentally hits him again. And so his partner's like, that's it, I've had enough. And they chase each other around the ring. Then they go in the crowd. They're running through the aisles. And they run right through our aisle.
Right.
The midgets come right through. And, dude, my grandpa was just dying, laughing his ass off. Like, the hardest probably I've ever seen my grandfather laughing in
right.
my life. Like, he was slapping his knee, just loving it.
Right.
And so to this day... we kind of like get on my mom and say, oh, so it was bad, huh? Well, okay, then go tell your dad, grandpa, that you should have laughed, you know? And then, you know, she kind of, oh, all right, go ahead, enjoy your midget wrestling, you know what I mean? But that just shows you, too, that, you know, like our grandfathers that age, like they watched it when it was Gorgeous George.
Right.
Movies. And it's been around forever. It was just part of wrestling. That was part of it. The heels, the Iron Sheik, the controversial countries that the guys came from. Nikolai Volkov, Fritz von Erich in the Texas Territory. Reconstructed Nazi.
What?
Fritz von Erich, yeah. He, without really saying it, you know what I'm saying? Even then, like, without really saying it. And we fast forward now to today's wrestling. First off, midgets are obsolete. Again, you got your Hornswoggle.
Yeah, they don't wrestle.
You have your El Torito, but they're just there. They don't have an actual roster they really invest in like they used to, you know. And then you get into race in wrestling. I want to touch on the Wrestling Society X, Danny.
Right. Okay,
that we worked on. And I don't know, do you know where I'm going to go with this?
Speaking of race and WSX.
And it's not just WSX, but we were involved in it, so we kind of saw the inner workings, so that's why I bring it up, and I'm sure lot of the same stuff goes on in WWE, because there were a few people on our show that worked in WWE, then, you know, ideas cross paths all the time, you know.
Right. I remember for incidents in XPW, I don't know if it's the same with certain African-American wrestlers going over white wrestlers.
Oh, Westsiders.
No, I just remember XPW.
What about WSX, though? Think about the characters.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, every single tag team was created due to race.
Right.
You had the Dragon Gate guys, Asian.
Yes.
You had the Bling. Damn, I'll do it better. What were the black guys?
Yeah, the White Trash.
Yeah, yeah, the trailer
Whips, right?
Yeah, and then you had Luke Hawks and Alcatraz. They were kind of your white supremacists,
right?
The Aryan. They looked like the Aryan dudes from those prison movies. Right. You know what I mean? And then what were the black guys called again? They brought the ladder with the bling on it. Remember?
Oh, they had three letters, GHB gangster.
I'm so sorry, guys, for listening. And we actually worked on the show. This is a shame that we don't.
And it was a clothesline also by.
So anyway, their whole gimmick was because they were black and they were from the hood and they got the hip hop going. And then you had, like you said, the Trailer Park Boys, the Hicks. And then you had two white kind of things. You had the Hicks from the Trailer Park, and then you had the white supremacists. And then you had Joey Ryan and Disco Machine, and that was kind of like your homophobic nation. So,
and then you had the
you know how these
Gothic guys. I forgot their name. He's with WWE right now. What's his name? Producer.
The emo. The emo guys. You mean Tyler Black?
Yeah,
and,
Tyler, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They were like emo characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So anyway, you know how most of these characters were derived. We were in the Big Vision offices leading up to WSX. Kevin had books. Kevin Kleinrock was the one of the executive producers.
Right.
And he is a bookworm. Like, this guy is like smart Jewish kid, graduated UCLA in like 3 years. Like, he's brilliant, Kevin. And again, sorry, Kevin, Jewish, it doesn't matter. But but anyway, and see, there I go now, right? So anyway...
He's marketing.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, he had all these books in his office about race. All these books about history of race, about World War II, about all these different things. And he was reading these books on racism, division of people, okay? Where racism started. I mean, really, he went back in the history of race. Into the ancient world of the Middle East and in Europe, like when it all started. He read all this shit. And this is where he got the character derived for the characters.
Right.
And it works, unfortunately, right? It works because... Oh, and we're forgetting also Los Pocos Guapos,
yeah.
Chaos and Aguilera. They were the Mexican guys, you know? So, yeah, so anyway, you have all these factions, right? And you see it in WWE with... Crime Time, you know, the Usos.
The Wyatt family.
The Usos now. The Wyatt family. So it's kind of like that Fritz Von Erich thing where they're saying it without saying it now. But then our producer brought up something a little while, just before we went on the air here. Our producer is kind of in the background once again. Looks kind of tired, a little sluggish today. Didn't do much. Been sitting on the couch eating the Cheetos. But anyway, he's here. He actually went out today to get Jack in the Box, I heard. But anyway... the spicy crispy chicken sandwich? No. Okay, I'm not going to guess anymore. So, you know, he was talking about back in, I think, almost 10 years ago now, almost, just about, the Daivari character. Well, he was at WrestleMania 21, so it's right about 10 years ago they started it, at least. And he was talking about, I am American just like you are, but he was this Iranian, Persian, Farsi-speaking, evil dude from the evil place of the world. And I thought it was very brilliant. Like, he would say all these, and George reminded me before, kind of rehashed it before we went on the air, how he would say these things like, yes, I'm American just like you, this and that. I grew up in Detroit. You know, everybody else in America came from a different place, whether it be Ireland, Finland, Germany. These are all different countries you came from, so I came from a different place too. And then at the end of the promo, what did he say, George? Praise be to Allah, right? And then you think about it, oh, you got heat. But then you think about, okay, what was wrong with that?
Right.
That was like, God bless you, everybody, you know, but it's just their way of saying it. So you're going to get mad at the Native Americans for saying it their way? You're going to get mad at, you know what I'm saying? So then I thought that was brilliant on the part of McMahon, because that's never been done before. Because in a way, now it's on the fans to decide, am I going to be racist or not? Because I got to hate this guy because he basically just prayed in his own way. And you know what? It was brilliant because they were touching on that time in America. And at that time in America, people did hate the Muslims. They did hate anything to do with Iran. They did hate anything. Well, they still kind of do, you know, but not as much as they did then after 9/11. So when that happened, that was kind of the first time it happened. But what happened that you said, TMZ, like, oh, this is horrible. I can't believe this is happening. But really, what was horrible about it? It was just another gimmick. What's the difference of the crime time? What's the difference of Umaga coming down the aisle? It really wasn't that character. It was America, what they were thinking at the time. And America was like, oh, this is horrible. Well, wait a minute, America. Look in the mirror and then say why it's horrible. Because you're not mad at Umaga. You're not mad at crime time. And then George also brought up a good point. When back in the day, when a heel would speak in a foreign language, that automatically meant, oh, this guy's from a foreign land. He is a heel. Yeah. End of story. Nikolai Volkov, Daivari, whatever else, right? Frenchie Martin, even. Like, what's going to say? You know, all that stuff. USA is not okay. Then when you go down to San Diego or even here in LA or Arizona, especially this part of the country, and Rey Mysterio gets out there, maybe he gets on the mic, says a few things in Spanish, the crowd cheers, okay? And it's almost like, why are you cheering that foreign language but not this other one? It seems like the people are only doing what they think, I better cheer this one because everybody else is. Oh, I better boo this one because everybody else is. And I think that, but that's wrestling. People are sheep, you know? People are sheep. Jesse Ventura always would say that too. Just lead the sheep. Just lead them.
What's that guy's name? The Irish wrestler? I forgot his name.
Sheamus!
Yeah. I mean, when he first came out, he was boo, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was boo. And he has very, very thick, which he still does, Irish accent.
But he don't talk in Irish, right? He doesn't talk in Irish. Sorry, George.
Irish?
I mean...
Yeah, I think it's pretty, we can understand.
He speaks English, in other words.
Yes, and that's kind of what they, anyway. He's got a thick accent.
Sorry.
He's got a thick accent, though.
Right.
But yes, he always spoke English.
That's funny how you talk a different language and woo. But if you recognize the language, you woo, woo, right? Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
I think wrestling's always done that, though. Wrestling's always played. You know, wrestling was one of those things that, okay, I think up until pretty recent times, I think wrestling is really trying hard to be Hollywood, to be pop culture, where all the way up until, I guess, 10 years ago plus, it was always that escape from the mainstream. Wrestling was always that different thing that you could go watch. I mean, it still is in a sense, but I mean, they're always plugging these movies and they're doing these things that appease to the mainstream audience, like, oh, look at who we have playing here, promoting their album on WrestleMania, all these things. And it never used to be like that. And it was this place where you can kind of escape from. Right. And in wrestling, when the race stuff came in, it was like, that's okay. It's pro wrestling. Right. It's just fake, so it's okay that they do it. You know? And right. it didn't mean anything. Because the boys, they all go in the back.
Right.
And it didn't mean shit. You can have me hating the shit out of a few white guys in the back, but me and Crack, or me and freaking Styles P, or whoever got along great. Me and you. You know what I mean? So when it was in the back, all that stuff was just to put out there because art imitates life.
Right.
But nowadays, you can't even get away with that in pro wrestling.
Right.
Like that. Oh, and another thing I was going to bring up to you guys before we went on the air was, you know, the movie The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke. You know the controversy with that movie was because at the end of the movie, he went against the Sheik. And he was from Iran, the flag. So what? Hollywood was like, oh, that was racist. That was the only part of that movie that was bad. And it was like when you watch the movie, you don't even think twice. It's just wrestling.
Right, yeah.
You know, that's the heel from the foreign land. And that was such a big part of professional wrestling forever that it's kind of a shame. You know, look, there's racism, but then there's joking about racism.
Right. Like
we talk about all the time. We have a little.
I never make jokes about racism.
Yeah. We have a little shtick, Danny and I do. Danny's, you know, you've seen him. He's a little short Mexican guy. I'm a tall white guy. And we'll walk into a mall. We'll walk into a department store. And I'll just, we won't even tell anybody. We'll see. I'll be walking in going, hey, how much the shirts cost over here? You know how much? And then Danny will see the, oh, it's a bit drafty in here. Yeah, so he'll be talking this full-on white British guy, you know. But we won't even say anything to anybody. We won't even laugh about it ourselves. Right. We'll just walk like it's normal. Just to get laughs out of people. Okay, the joking about racist stuff. But and then being racist, two totally different things.
Right.
You know, so is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I mean, then again, you look back and...
I mean, how like before when Gorgeous George came out, these are called flamboyant, right? When Adrian Adonis came out, they used to say gay, right? Gorgeous George, they wouldn't. They would say...
Well, okay, Gorgeous George is a little different because that was back in the 50s when that was not even on the table to be discussed. You know, I remember, the Liberace movie that came out on HBO with Matt Damon and
HBO.
Michael Douglas. Anyway, it was the life story of Liberace. And my grandparents, that's their generation. They would go to shows like that in Las Vegas, right?
Right.
And I remember back in the day, like, Liberace, WrestleMania 1.
Yeah.
He was freaking, I mean, it's all good, but he was obviously gay. You look at it now.
Yeah.
Back then, and it was in this movie where they're sitting at the beginning of the movie, and they go to see Liberace, Matt Damon and his friend. And it was an older crowd at a Las Vegas show, right? And it was conservative, like conservative older white people would go see it.
Right.
And he was all in his robe and hello everybody, hi, right. You know. And in the movie, Matt Damon whispers to his friend after one of the songs, he goes, "Wow, that was good, man! I can't believe all these people, this type of crowd, watches this show, accepts a gay show like this." And his friend looked at him. He's like, "Oh, what are you talking about? These people don't know he's gay." And people didn't know back then. People didn't know, or it wasn't even like thought about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, it wasn't tolerated at all back then either. So it was kind of an interesting dynamic. And I remember my grandparents, they would go see us, and it was never even thought of. You know what I mean? Like that generation, they didn't talk about it.
Right.
They didn't think about it.
Right.
You know? They just like, oh, this guy's a marvelous entertainer. That's it.
Right.
So yeah, the Gorgeous George days, it was just kind of, they laughed at him doing it. They didn't really, he must be a homosexual, you know. And then Adrian Adonis, then they started touching on it a little bit more, you know. And now they could never do like an Adrian Adonis character.
And
make fun of gay, you know. Even Angel, our buddy, the hardcore homo. I mean, we pushed the envelope with a lot of things in XPW, but he came out as the hardcore homo from way West Hollywood. There's no way. I don't think you could do that now, even in an extreme league. Maybe indie circuit.
I think he probably could, yeah. You know?
Well, out here in
the he was
indie.
A fan favorite, too. You know?
I know, but indie he could.
Right. It's just...
I want to get... go ahead with your thought, and then I'm gonna. I know he said no. I'm going to feed the microphone over to George Tremosa. He's on the edge of his seat. I know he wants to say something about this PC topic we're talking about. But yeah, go ahead, Danny. I'm sorry.
PC meaning politically correct.
That's right, buddy.
Okay, then. George, the mic is yours.
Buddy. Oh!
Well, I mean, what you were saying earlier.
By the way, George Hermosa, welcome to the Chris Kloss Show.
Thank you. Well, what you were saying earlier.
Bienvenido al show de Chris Kloss, George Hermosa.
What you were saying earlier, and it was one of those things where you said, well, the crowd decides that. The crowd is the one that went there. So I remember for WrestleMania.
We're referring to the Daivari thing?
No, just in general. Just the crowd going there.
Right.
So I remember WrestleMania 19. It was
Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, the Safeco Field. It was Booker T versus Triple H. Booker T challenging Triple H for the World Heavyweight title. So I think Booker T won like a battle royal to be the number one contender, right? And then Triple H comes out, you know, with Flair. You know, he's the heel. He's the guy. He's the top guy. He's the one that's been there for a while. Like I said, he's the top guy, champion. So Booker T's in the ring. Triple H comes out. And he's like, oh, you know, we're fighting at WrestleMania because you won a number one contendership. You kind of people don't really deserve a shot like that. You know what I mean? You're kind of people. And it's one of those things where it's like, obviously, everyone's mind went there first.
Of course.
But it's like, had you would have said that to like a Rob Van Dam or whoever else, it's like, well, you wouldn't have thought that had someone else. I mean, you automatically went to the race thing. Maybe he just looked at him as a jobber. Maybe he looked at him as a WCW guy.
Then we start to get out of wrestling, and that's just the way the world works.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just one of those things where it's like he never said you guy as a black guy.
Yeah.
You know, but here's a guy for Booker T. If anyone knows his background, here's a guy who was a juvenile delinquent, I believe.
Yeah.
He was in. You know, come from that background. You know, obviously overcame the odds.
Right.
You know, five-time WCW champion. So he does. Somebody who did overcome the odds, but it's one
how
of
many times?
Five time. Five time. Five time. Five time. Five time. WCW champion.
Oh, five. Seven. Okay.
So it's just one of those things where it's like, he had that background, but it had nothing really to do with the race. That's just the way the cookie crumbled.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just one of those things where he never said, oh, you're kind of people, you know, black people said, oh, you kind of people don't deserve a title shot. You know, automatically everyone's like, oh, well, that was racist.
Do you remember when Kurt Angle said, like, it doesn't matter what I say. People are going to cheer me no matter what. Watch this, Coachman. I don't know about the black people. Remember he said that?
I know.
What's with the black people? And they look at that. They still cheer me. It doesn't matter. Kurt Angle was great, man.
But yeah, it's one of those things. Even when they don't bring it up, everyone else brings it up. You know?
Right.
And even with the whole Daivari and Muhammad Nassar thing, it's like, why are these guys heels? They're not really doing anything to be heels.
Yeah, they're just being they're from Iran.
Exactly.
Well, they're bad.
Exactly. And I mean, I guess something was timing because I remember when they wrote him out, it was because the whole London bombing thing, terrorist thing, and I think SmackDown, it was like, you know, obviously it was taped on a Tuesday. The whole thing happened on a Wednesday.
Right.
They aired it on a Friday, so I was like, wow, like what horrible timing, you know? And it's just one of those things where sometimes you just can't help it, but sometimes it's not really WWE going there. But at the same time, though, if you remember, and I bring up someone else too, right before Muhammad Hassan debuted, WWE sent out a release like, hey, we're going to create a character that is going to be of Arab descent.
That's right.
You know, sensitivity. And here's another guy. Remember, they sent out a release saying, hey, we're going to create a special needs character. And then they brought in Eugene, you know? And it's just one of those things where, at the end of the day,
That was so blatant, though, Eugene. What was that?
But, I mean, it's one of those things where, dude, for a little brief, that guy was over.
Yeah,
he really
what
was.
What does that say about the fans, though?
But that's like, I think that kind of says a lot about Eugene. Or the guy behind Eugene, that he played a character really well.
Can I tell you, I went to the Arrowhead Pond with a friend that we know by the name of T-Shirts. Eric Tyrone Shirts, former ring announcer. And we were sitting in the front row, and Eugene came out, and we put back a few. And I was waving kind of like Eugene waves, And I was like, hi, Eugene, hi, like that, you know? And then people were looking at me like, how dare you? How dare you? Even the people that were, like, around ringside, that, like, Lillian Garcia looked at me and just like, oh, like, how can you do this? And I'm just, that's why I wanted to do it, because I want to get that reaction right. from these fuckers that created this gimmick of a retarded guy, but saying that I'm just out of line by doing that. Yet they're creating and making fun of this retarded guy. Like,
is it
Kamala
a
was another one. Just
gotta do that.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things where can they do that now?
Well, especially I think they were pushing the envelope at that time. Eugene and Daivari were, what was that, 05, 06?
Yeah, but now it's like...
Even then it was like, I can't believe they're doing this.
But now with even more,
yeah, it's
the
more
Facebook,
now.
The Twitter...
Donald Sterling.
Yeah, Donald Sterling. Like, you can't... Everybody's so... As much as they hate saying it, it's like, everybody is PC. Everybody
okay.
is sensitive.
But why?
In many ways...
Why is it PC? Why do we have to be PC? Why, I mean...
Well, in many ways, why do we have to? Well, I mean, I think in many ways it's good, because...
What happens to freedom of speech?
Well, no, freedom of speech is good. Yeah, no. That's why it's such a. No, I freedom of speech above anything else. Of course. However, I get why it has to happen, because
who made the law?
Well, no.
Politically correct. Who said this is politically correct? Who wrote that?
Nobody. It's not a law. It's just a way to be because of the history.
But it just not
racism
just,
and,
not just
and all the bigotry. It's trying to show the new generation of kids
but,
not to do what we've done.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not
what
just,
we've
it,
done.
It's
just
not just wrestling, though. But how often do you hear somebody go on a rant? You know, the Mel Gibsons of the world or the Donald Sterns of the world, and then they'll go off and say, "Well, I apologize for what I said." It's like, dude, you're not sorry. You said what
yeah.
you said. Just own up to it. But it just because everyone else is telling them to
yeah.
apologize. Everyone else is. Kind of on
Michael Richards.
A magnifying glass.
Yeah,
like,
sorry. Like, our buddy Brett Ernst from WSX, he was actually there the night Michael Richards at the Laugh Factory.
I just saw him the other day at the Comedy Store.
Oh, Brett Ernst, you told me that, yeah. He was there. We were doing WSX at the time. And the night after it happened, we all met up in the studio. And it was like all over the news, Michael Richards. I met him, by the way, in Palisades. He was a dick, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. Unfortunately, I was.
You know why?
But the thing,
yeah. now he has to hate me and prove it. I don't know why. Yeah.
The thing about wrestling is because it's quote unquote scripted and entertainment, they can go there.
Well, not anymore, though.
Oh, yeah, not anymore.
But that's why they always could go there because, oh, like.
Because, but it's happening in real life.
Yeah, but
so
like
why ignore what's happening in real life, you know?
Because.
It's happening. So why is wrestling.
Well, no. Any form of entertainment. Like you said, the Mel Gibson, the Michael Richards, they are kind of.
Yeah, I mean,
because they're public figures.
I mean, obviously they're not gonna have a character who's like a Jew hater, but it's like, but they can do the things.
The fact that you said that, you are now anti-Semitic.
Yeah,
you can no longer work on the show because this show is in Hollywood.
And Kevin Kleinrock is our buddy. And I think
okay, George. Well, George is packing his bags. He's moving to Ohio now. He cannot live in Tinseltown anymore. But no, you're absolutely right. And wrestling was always that place you could go to that. You knew. Yeah, it's pretty racist, but it's wrestling. You know the guys get along in the back. You know it's going to be fine. You know what I mean? And, well, okay, speaking of the Jew hater thing, that was the Fritz Von Erich gimmick. You know? And that was like they're going off of World War II. So that stuff always happened. And all these little snide remarks, you know? And then the Tatanka character was created because... You know, to make Native Americans in a positive light, you know, as much as that was a joke in itself. That was a really good makeup. It was a pretty lame attempt, dude. The guy was Mexican. His name is Chris Chavez. Native American. Yeah, very, very, very interesting. All right, that music right there means only one thing. It's commercial time. We're going to hear from our sponsors, and we will be right back. With part 2 of episode 8 of the Chris Kloss Show. Stay tuned, everybody. For those of you out there that are tired of being sluggish, tired of feeling lousy, tired of having no energy,
That can now change. I know you've heard it all before, but this is different. This is the way to go. Danny Ramirez, star of the Chris Kloss Show, is presenting his own personal fitness club called Good Nutrition, located at 13120 Van Nuys Boulevard, Pacoima, California, 91331. Come on down, train, and get the best in nutrition products. It's Danny Ramirez, Good Nutrition. Call 818-447-3799.
This is Todd Kennelly, and you're listening to my brother from another mother, Chris Kloss, on The Chris Kloss Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the second half of episode 8 of The Chris Kloss Show. Talking about a very controversial topic today, race and wrestling, political correctness, what have you. We could go on and on. And we are going to go on with part 2 of episode 8, Chris Kloss Show. We got some more topics to talk about from the 90s, current stuff, even some international stuff. Guys have been banned from countries. Different rules, different laws apply in all parts of the world. So as Americans, yeah, I guess you got to be aware of it. One thing I can say, it's been an interesting topic. Anybody out there has comments, send them to questions@chrisklossshow.com as we push forward. My producer is shaking his head in absolute disgust.
I cannot believe it.
I can't believe it either. That was my fault. And
no,
it is,
why did he put it like that in the first place?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Come and on. Then he changed it on us. No, it is questions@chriskloss.com. So, yeah, if you have any and don't be TMZ with us. Don't tell us what we said wrong, what we said controversial, what we can't say. Please don't. All right, none of us are racist.
We have the right to be politically incorrect.
Yes, we do. This is the internet, all right? So thank you very much.
Yes.
Anyway, Bo, but in all honesty and all joking aside, send us your comments, not only for this show, but for any topic or any of our episodes that you may think that you might have an opinion on or might want to chime in on. But this show specifically, talk about this topic. It is interesting. It's very controversial, and it's kind of one of those things where you really see how wrestling has changed. This is one of those reasons. Like, we all know that it's changed, and why has it changed? Why this? This is one of those things where you can really pinpoint, yep, they used to do this, and they for sure don't do it anymore. We all kind of know why. But we are talking about race, political correctness within the realm of professional wrestling. It's always been a part of it. You can go back to, like, characters like the Junkyard Dog, Kamala, Papa Shango, all these guys, Eddie Guerrero, you know, and we started off talking about midget wrestling. So that's a very interesting one, how they're basically gone because it's not politically correct to make fun of them. So, hey, it's funny, they got rid of the midgets, right?
Right.
Okay, it's bad, let's get rid of them. Well, what if they said, you know, it's so bad to be racist to black people. No more black people in wrestling. I mean, that's basically what they did to the midgets.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, right. About it, man. You know, it's like, it's so bad to make fun of midgets, so we're not going to do it anymore. It's so bad to make fun of black people, we're just not going to have them in wrestling. I mean, that's what they're doing. Why can't they bring them back? These guys have trained their whole life. They're the ones suffering the most, you know, and make it not so much a joke then. Like they're taming down the African-American characters, they're taming down the old stereotypes, so they're still there, you know? So do that with the little people, with midgets. So, you know, that's something to think about, wrestling world, something to think about WWE. And please, folks, if you agree with that, we've had a lot of people write in, like, you know, hey, yeah, that's very true. Why are they just gotten rid of? Because it was bad to make fun of them. And that's what happened. They were just gotten rid of. You didn't get rid of a race of people, you know, the Mexican people, the Asian wrestlers, the black wrestlers. You didn't just get rid of them. But they did that to the midgets. So I think that's really unfair. And I'd love to see midget wrestling really return, not just a Hornswoggle at El Torito. I'd like to see an actual roster come back.
Chris.
Yes, sir.
How about Nicole Bass and China? Remember how...
Yeah, freaks of nature.
But now, I mean, there were women fighters, but now they get the women fighter now.
I know, they're just Playboy bunnies now. They're just strippers.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
which is great, but I don't, you know, if I want to look at girls, I'm not going to go to pro wrestling. I'm going to go to good old porn. You know what I mean? That's what I'm going to do. I don't need to see that wrestling. That's not part of the show.
So you're not saying there are professional wrestler females?
You know, we all know why they're there.
No, question.
No, because if there was a... What happened to Bull Nakano? Wrestlers like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, what happened? She was awesome, you know?
And Fabulous Moolah.
All those, yeah. You know?
But that times have changed. Back then, Fabulous Moolah couldn't wrestle like the wrestler now.
In many ways, with the advancement of women in sports everywhere, there's been such progress. But then you look at wrestling, it's almost like... As the world progressed, the women's championship and division kind of went back to all this superficiality.
Yeah.
And like, because like you said, the Fabulous Moolah, Wendy Richter, Bull Nakano, Alundra Blaze, they really kind of, the women's championship was heralded, even the days of Wendy Richter, Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
Like the Wendy Richter was right up there with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like treated more serious. Now, even though it's gotten better for women in wrestling, and oh yeah, we're divas, we're awesome, dude. You're celebrating the fact that you're fucking divas, meaning a bitch. You're celebrating that. You know what I'm saying?
Chris Kloss, your language of man.
Excuse me, internet. Don't forget internet.
But you know what I do?
But you know what I'm saying? Like now they have to look like they're a Playboy model.
Yeah,
which is cool. But you know. I don't need to see that in wrestling. See that other places. The Honky Tonk Man said that once. What the? If I want to see that, I'm going to go to wrestling.
You know what's... I mean, when I ask guys their favorite match, no name on it, take or whatever. But when I ask them their favorite female wrestling match...
I have no clue. I don't either. I'll be honest.
I remember Trish Stratus was bad.
She was all right.
Good. She was good.
Yeah. And Lita.
Yes,
I think those two, they really stand out. But other than that, it's just all about what they look like.
Yeah, and my favorite matches was with, what's her name? I forgot her name. When she came out, I love when she came out. When she came out, forgot her name. She's in TNA. She speaks on microphone.
Tracy Hemme?
Yeah, Christy Hemme. I love her. When she's come on WWE, you know?
She was in Playboy.
Oh, yeah. I love you. Oh, man, I wet my pants. Anyway, I don't remember her matches. I just remember her coming out. And right. I watching her, you know? But it was a sex appeal. I was attracted to the sex appeal, not to the match.
She was awesome.
But, I mean, do you remember any of your female wrestling matches?
I did like her quite a bit, to be honest. Like, she was up there for me. But let's get back to race.
It's
kind of like an episode of Raw. We're only going to talk about the female. They're only on for one
question. Question, Chris. Why didn't we name a female in Mount Rushmore?
Well,
because
there are no. Now that's our sexist. Answer.
I know. Can I just thought about wait a minute? Fabulous Moolah.
There's no black guy up there. Oh yeah, the Rock could be up there. He's a contender for Mount Rushmore. But I think it was really the wrestling industry, and you know they were Mount Rushmore. There were never women presidents from the United States. So anyway, let's get back to race. No. We'll get that's a topic for another show, though. Seriously, I want to talk about a couple things that have happened internationally, like we talked about with the intro said there for part two, of episode 8. Their theme song. And a few things have happened internationally. In Brazil, mm-hmm. and this was pointed out by our producer, George Ramosa. Thank you again, George Ramosa. They were in Brazil, and one of the fans threw into the ring the Brazilian flag. And Jericho, as a heel at the time, he kicked the flag out of the ring. And apparently, that's illegal to do in Brazil. So he got arrested.
Oh, what?
Another incident where a wrestler got arrested, and I know a lot of you probably have seen it on YouTube, was when the WWE was in Germany, Berlin, I believe, or Hanover. I can't remember, Munich. Anyway, one of the big cities. And Bradshaw was getting booed, and Bradshaw starts doing the little Hitler with the handout march, the Nazi march. And again, another law in Germany, like Brazil with the flag, it is against the law. And I've been to Germany.
Right.
And I remember people would tell us, like, hey, just in case you're thinking about doing the hit, like we're thinking about doing it, just to let you know, a little thing like that is illegal in Germany. You cannot do the Nazi sign.
Wow.
Yeah, you can't do it.
Damn,
you will get arrested.
My plan.
So yeah, he got arrested for that.
Wow.
So it's interesting, like you think only in America, but no, it's other places around. But you know, at the same time, it's ironic because our producer, like he was saying, we do have the freedom to do these things.
Right.
But then there's like repercussions that come with the freedom.
Right.
Okay, yeah, you're free to do it, but then the ridicule that comes along, like, okay, well, it's almost like a pseudo freedom.
Right.
Is it really freedom? You know, so but anyway, you know, that's one of those topics. And I think professional wrestling, look, I'm all for a PC. If it's not like, it doesn't infringe on the freedoms and all that, yes, I'm for it. Because I want the younger generation to grow up not thinking about other races the way maybe our generation did or our parents' generation. So I am all for it in that sense. But at the same time, I don't want people to get too serious about it to where I can't even think about it now. I can't even, like, not think about it, so it can be a non-issue. I think it can still be an issue. I think it can still be out there in front of us in wrestling with also knowing that's wrong to do in real life, you know? I think that is a delicate balance for a lot of people, but, you know...
But it's also the way you use the words, you
right,
know?
Right, right, right.
Like Mexicans...
Yeah.
White people.
Yeah, it's funny. Like
whatever people.
Well, that's like, and that's one of the things now. Like when you want to just describe a guy, okay, like
yeah.
Oh, my neighbor. Oh, what's he look like? Well, he's oh gosh, how do I say this? how do I say this? All right, forgive me for saying this, but he's black. He's what? He's black. You know? And it's like. It's like we feel guilty just for saying that. And then it's like we could say, oh, well, what color was his hair? Blonde. What color was his hair? Brown.
Right.
What color was his eyes? Green. What color was his skin? Oh, I can't say, you know. Why is that an issue? You know, but that's just the way our culture is. So that's what I mean where you don't want to take it too seriously where you're going to get to that point where you can't even describe a person's skin color. Why is that so different than the eye color or the hair color or their height? Or their weight. Well, weight's even an issue now. Like, you'd say he's fat or, you know, overweight. You know? But that's the... But again, political correctness is there because we got to get out of that we did make it an issue years ago. You know? So I get it. It shouldn't have been in the first place, so that's why we're getting out of it. But you can't get to the point where...
Chris.
You got to just not take it too seriously while also, of course, taking it seriously in some senses to get out of that way of thinking, yes, of course.
Chris, when I was little, I mean, younger... Not a midget. I remember when we used to describe somebody, we never said white or black guy. I mean, it was something I never said. And I went to a private Catholic school, believe it or not, ACDC. Yeah, we never, oh, there's that black kid. Oh, that's a kid. Don't we
see
them by names, you know?
Yeah, yeah, but if you knew their name. But what I'm saying is, hey, do you remember what that guy looked like? Yeah, he was tall. He has blonde hair. White guy? Yeah, white guy. It's almost like people can't even say that anymore. It's so ultra-sensitive.
Right.
And I just... But at the same time, you want the younger kids to understand that, look, if you're going to describe their hair color, then their skin color should matter just as much as their hair color. It just shouldn't matter.
You know, it's funny that later on in the future, kids will be like, explain to them, oh, that person has manic depression, he has to take antidepressants. Oh, I know who he is, you know? They're not going to describe them, they're going to describe emotionally how they are, which is even scarier, you know?
It's one of those things where that's always been a mainstay in wrestling, like the Iron Sheik, Nikolai Volkov coming out. But at the same time, George, our producer, was saying, okay, Daivari, he came out there, he really wasn't a heel. Like, when he presented himself as a nice man. Hello, I'm from America. I grew up here. Praise all. And it's like, well, he really, if you really look at it, he never said anything that made him a heel.
Right.
But it's funny because it's wrestling, so you can laugh at it. Yes, of course, in real life, that would be horrible.
Yeah.
This is freaking entertainment. Right. And that's like, you almost need it in wrestling to show how ridiculous this is to live like this in real life. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you almost need these characters in wrestling that they're so bad. You need them there so you can laugh at it. And you can also know how ridiculous this is in real life not to do it. And people are kind of... And that's where wrestling is kind of... Wrestling used to be its own entity. And now it's kind of blending in with pop culture. So they're not even allowed to do this stuff anymore. And it really, I think, takes away from... The magic of wrestling and the crossing the boundaries, crossing the borders. I do love pushing the envelope, but I also, at the same time, like I said, of course you don't want to identify somebody by just their race and race alone. Well, that's the problem with the world then.
You know,
don't bring it on to wrestling.
And you know what's the beauty about wrestling back then and what it is now is that before... A real American hero was a blonde, tall,
black.
Now you watch WWE, and he's a W heavyweight champion of the world. Now it could be any race, and they don't stereotype it like they used to back then. You know, it was kind of bad, but you know, it's just television.
That's
true.
That's true.
And it's just amazing how we've changed, but yet we still haven't changed. You know, because why? Just because he's from Iraq. Bad guy.
I know, yeah. But that's pretty much how it's portrayed.
Yeah,
but I don't see that as wrestling doing harm.
No.
I see that's how, hey, if we're going to put this out there and you guys are going to buy into it, then that's your buying into it.
Yeah.
You're the one that's booing it because he is now Iranian and, oh, why are you booing him? Oh, dude, did you hear what he said? No, what did he say? No, I don't know, but it was in a different language.
And you know what? Sorry, Chris, let me change the subject on you. I remember in the Indies, there's this guy named The Sheik.
Yes.
Awesome wrestler, man.
Right.
Comes out with the pants. And even Sabu, remember?
Yeah.
Sabu. They came out with all, and they plotted these things, you know, plotted their faces, you know?
Yep.
They're all bad guys. So when Sabu came out to WWE, he was a bad guy.
Yeah.
Why?
Because Middle Eastern, didn't he? But again, I just can't stand when now you see this stuff happen in wrestling, and like you said, TMZ, oh, the WWE did this, and WWE did that. Dude, take care of your own issues. If you have racist issues, racial issues, that's fine. Take care of them. Don't try to always pin them onto somebody else. If a celebrity says something wrong, Michael Richards, Mel Gibson, whatever, dude, okay, that it wasn't right they said it, but... I mean, dude, worry about your own issues.
Right.
Worry about your own issues. I'm not saying that's okay to say, but
well, that's what
but people always want to blame somebody else for you know, probably the way most people think, you know. I think the more people complain about racism, I think that they're more racist, you know.
Yeah.
That's maybe not always true, but a lot of times can be, you know. There are some good people out there that just don't like it and want to do away with it. But, hey, we really could go on and on.
Right.
We could go on and on.
I think we're done for today, Chris Class. George is falling asleep, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
He is knocking out, and Chris Class is kicking him in the face, which you don't see.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, just a little special announcement. We're going to have some special guests coming on the show very soon. Santa Barbara graduate and former professional wrestler. He was an XPW. Great guy in and out of the ring. His name is Phil Landers. He went by the name.
Remember that? Sorry.
Yep. He was the phenomenon.
The first one. Sorry.
He was the phenomenon. Phenomenal Phil.
And 5'4".
Yeah. He's going to be here. And I'm going to be on location down in Orange County in Santa Ana. I'm going to be on location interviewing former TNA play-by-play man, my old buddy. We did a lot of projects together. We'll talk about that, reminisce about our careers. The one and only Todd Kennelly is going to be on our show. So he's currently doing, well, I'll let him talk about it. He's going to be currently doing some stuff. So this is coming up not too long from now. So again, this is episode 8, signing off right now. And episode 9 coming up. Again, more guests coming up. Phenomenal Phil, Todd Kennelly, on the table. More to come after that. Again, fans, thank you so much for joining us. If you have any comments, questions, some of your opinions about our topic of the day, race, political correctness in wrestling, especially when it comes to little people, midget wrestling, I'd like to hear what your thoughts are about that in terms of, you know, basically them just getting rid of it, you know, and these guys having no livelihood anymore. Write about it. Talk about it. Questions at chriskloss.com. For Danny Ramirez.
Yes.
Maxim Magazine's sexiest referee, west of the Mississippi, and our producer, George Hermosa. My name is Chris Kloss. Thanks again for joining us right here on the Chris Kloss Show. We'll see you next time. Good night, everybody.